You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Tuesday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast, primarily covering the North Division and the East Division. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres and Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. I know, Mike, you've had some card collecting shows on the channel here in the past, and I actually wanted to start with you there today because I was actually looking at some of the insane prices in cards right now. Like, the market's like insane.
Yeah, if you're like a lapsed hockey card collector and you come back to the hobby right now or over the past like 2 or 3 months, you will be very shocked about what's happened to the price of cards. It really all kind of started with Lafreniere's rookie going for stupid numbers right off the hop. Like this card was on release day going for $300-$400 raw. And then people started looking like, well, why would I get Lafreniere raw for $300 when I can get a Matthews for like $250, $300? So then, you know, this demand started coming in for those cards and everything rose. And then, you know, PSA and then the Americans started hopping on the bandwagon of hockey because that was the one sport that hadn't had that big rise that we saw happen over the course of the pandemic. And now you look at Series 2 is going to be coming out in the next couple weeks. I think March 24th, I think, is when it's supposed to be coming out. We'll see. It's been back. It's been pushed back twice already, so who knows? But, you know, you're looking at guys like Tim Stützle and Kirill Kaprizov and Nils Höglander and a lot of these guys who are going to be in this next set, and the prices already are astronomical. Like, I saw Kaprizov and Stützle both going for over $250, and it hasn't even hit release day. It's wild, man. It's a fun ride. I love collecting hockey cards. I love talking about collecting and investing. I started a YouTube channel, Canadian Card Collecting, as well, on top of the stuff that I do here on Locked On NHL. So, yeah, it's a wild, wild market right now when it comes to hockey cards, that's for sure.
Yeah, I actually went digging. So actually, I was listening to, was it the Dan Le Batard show last week? And they do, I mean, they're almost not even a sports show at this point. Now they're not on ESPN. They're just doing silly stuff. And Greg Cody, one of the guys on their show, they were doing a segment where he just goes through his garage and they could find the old stuff in his garage because it like hasn't changed since the 70s. And he found a bunch of shoeboxes of old baseball and football cards. It's like, oh, he just didn't even know. Or like he wouldn't have remembered that he's just got these baseball and football cards in his garage from when he was a kid that are worth like thousands and thousands of dollars. So I went looking through that. I was hoping to find the similar thing, and not really. I'm pretty much limited to what my dad collected, which is early 90s hockey cards. So I think the most expensive card I found was a Teemu Selanne rookie card, which I saw selling for around like $75 to $100. But that was also graded. And then I did some research on like what the grading process is right now. And I'm like, I don't care about it this much.
No, so. No, the grading process is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't even bother with it. Unless it's a super expensive card at this point. It's a lot of money and you're waiting like almost a year to get your card back at this point. It's insane, man. The sports card hobby in general as a whole, not just hockey, but like basketball, baseball, football, Pokemon took off like a mat. If you got any Pokemon cards lying around, those could be a lot more expensive and worth more money than your hockey cards are if you're looking through the old garage there. But the grading process is just so long. It's such in high demand right now. Everyone's trying to grade everything because I think it's going to make their card that much more valuable and desirable. And I'm not sure where that part of the hobby is going to end up, but I can tell you that a lot of people are starting to realize that grading may not be what it's all cracked up to be, especially at the prices that they're starting to charge now and the wait times that you have until you get your card back in your own hands.
Gotcha. Super interesting. I'm definitely going to be looking more into that in the upcoming, because I'm wondering if the market will, how long it will stay like that. That's happening with a lot of, commodities, like stocks it's happening with. I know it's happening with wine. Like people's like side side gigs, it's through the roof because everyone's just been sitting at home for the last year.
Exactly. And you know what? Like, this is actually a really good segue into something that we wanted to talk about today, and that's the ESPN deal. And yes, that happened last week, just a couple days after we record. I think it was last Wednesday or last Thursday when it officially got announced that ESPN and the NHL had locked into a long-term partnership. We'll discuss on how we think that's great. But just quickly off of the hockey card, hobby thing, I think that's really big for the hobby. Like, I think right now we have a lot of people who are getting back into hockey cards thinking, oh, this can, if I make a couple of quick bucks and pick a couple of cards, a couple of like McDavid, Crosby's, Matthews, Marner's, some guys who are really young and skilled and still have some value left in them. And then that's it. They're just looking to flip. I think once ESPN gets a hold of the sport, I think that it can grow hockey as a whole. And if you grow hockey as a whole, yeah, I think that hockey cards will be in demand as well down in the States. And that could help the hockey card hobby as well, not just for the flipping process, but actual collectors and hobbyists, which is the real fabric of a collecting hobbies such as sports cards, right? So I think that this ESPN deal actually could prolong and even help reach the hockey card hobby to like new levels.
I agree. Other things, by the way, that we will get to on today's show: the New York Islanders win streak is at 9. The Sabres still have Ralph Kruger as their head coach, and there's a real race developing at the top of the North Division. We'll get to all of that. But yeah, let's get to this ESPN deal, because kind of just growing off what you just said, like, ESPN is a machine. Like, they will take your sport and they will make it mainstream, or at least they will attempt to make it mainstream. I think about this with the UFC on ESPN deal from a couple of years ago, because that's a very niche sport. And I don't know, it feels like it's been more normalized since it's gotten to ESPN a lot more. And that's because every time you're watching ESPN now, there's an ad, there's a commercial, there's a ticker at the bottom, there's something in the bottom right corner that has the big UFC fight coming up. It's got the details, it's got how you're going to watch it. It's growing the sport by getting those guys' names out there. And you would hope that they're going to do something similar with the NHL. And we know at least that they're going to be getting prime slots on national TV, at least the UFC or the NHL over the UFC in this regard. The UFC is always on ESPN Plus, and part of that is because they're a pay-per-view sport. But this deal includes 4 of the next 7 Stanley Cup finals on ABC and ESPN. It's got ABC and ESPN having a conference final each year, and you're talking about a weekly Thursday night game here in the United States. I don't know. I would like to hope also that having a multi-network deal in the United States will grow competition, because I've been watching that NBCSN broadcast for a decade, and I've hated it for a decade, and it has looked exactly the same for a decade. It's always the same studio. It's the same format. They're always standing in the same spots. It's largely been the same personalities. They've had a couple of changes recently, like Mike Milbury out, Jeremy Roenick out, but for the most part, it's been the same guys. And I think I hate to always compare broadcast deals to other sports, but I'm left to do that when the NHL's only had one network. Is I think about the NBA and how inside the NBA on TNT is just like easily the most watched sport program of its kind in this country. It's always winning awards. It is always the most watched. And it's because the product is so good. But what happens because that product is so good? Now you've got at the NBA and ESPN that is constantly changing things and constantly trying to change their broadcast to get better because they're trying to compete with TNT. And you've never had NBC having to do that. So I'm hoping that ESPN makes NBC have to get better, if they, by the way, are even in on a new deal, because theirs expires at the end of the year. If you can gather, though, I'm excited about this overall. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I think all hockey fans should be. Like, this is great for the sport of hockey. Like, this is a massive needle mover for hockey. I think they needed some more representation down in the States in order to take that next level and grow to really solidify themselves as one of like the core 4 sports of North America. I think like down in the States, football's number 1, basketball's number 2, baseball's number 3, and then you know, hockey's pretty far below that at number four. Yeah. Like, and even who's it? Max Kellerman, like came out and said this a couple of years ago. He's like, look, no one in America cares about hockey. I'm sure he's going to have to retract that statement now that ESPN has the deals. But like, it's true. Hockey is not really a sport that is played in the States a lot. Half of the country is in a climate that can't really accommodate a lot of hockey rinks, especially outdoors, where a lot of hockey is played up here in Canada. You know, go out on the pond, play some outdoor rink hockey. You guys can do the same out in Buffalo, similar weather patterns. So, you know, I think that has something to do with it. The fact that it's always known as Canada's game, but now bring it to ESPN, bring it national. I think, like you said, just putting it in front of people, they're going to now see all the highlights and see the amazing fights. So you're going to get like those rugged UFC type fans who like the gladiator type stuff when they show highlights of fights. Like, oh, damn, they can fight in hockey. Shit, that's awesome. And then they'll go and they'll watch that. And then they'll see the sick dangles of like Crosby or, you know, watch Matthews unload on a puck. And they'll be like, damn, that guy can really shoot the puck. This sport's all right. I'll give it a go. And then you just grow on from there, grow a fan base from there. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, games aside from actually watching the games, the fact that ESPN has the rights means they're going to start talking about it. So we already saw Stephen A. put out that video, which was kind of a match of its own, and that needs to like be clipped and put in the Hockey Hall of Fame, if you ask me, because that was just it was something, that's for sure. It was something, but at least they're talking about it, and I think that's the number one thing that this deal is going to bring. There's going to be shows like First Take, shows like
Around the Horn,
They're all going to start talking about hockey because it's going to be the new shiny acquisition of ESPN, and they want to get the ratings. They want to make sure that people come and watch their Thursday night game, which I think having the game on Thursday night specifically is kind of them bowing out and saying, yeah, okay, Fox, you have Thursday nights. You're the king of Thursday nights with Thursday night football. We're just going to put up hockey content because we're not really going to be competitive. That's my cynical view on that whole thing. Granted, they do have the whole second half of the season, but still, I think that it's not as amazing as it seems to have a soul night for hockey with ESPN. But anyways, overall, though, I think this is nothing but good and positive. And you're right, competition breeds success. And hopefully whichever company ends up with the second part of the contract, whether it's Fox or NBC or whoever, hopefully that they do, you know, bring
something different and better.
Yeah, right? Like freshen up their scene a little bit and bring something different. Because I could tell you, when I watch games down in the States, like watch the regional broadcast, it looks like it's still in the 90s, like if not like early 2000s. It's pretty bad, to be honest with you. It's very it's not modernized. It's been the same thing for 15 years. Not just the people, but like visually it looks the exact same. So
it's a broadcast too. It's a broadcast designed for someone who's never watched hockey. That's how I always get the sense. Like just the most basic and simple analysis you've ever heard in your life. And it never gets more advanced than that. And as someone that has been a hardcore fan of the sport my entire life, that can be frustrating. And I'm sure many like me, that's frustrating in that all you ever hear about is the only questions ever, like on the intermission report, is, oh, what do you think he's saying to him? And what do you think the coach's message is to the guys in the locker room right now? Instead of like, you know, like give me something on like their neutral zone system and like why they're having trouble breaking into the offensive end and how they could change that. Like there's so much more advanced analysis that I'm also not assuming we're going to get from ESPN, but I'm hoping just in that it's a different network.
I think they will, because I think they're going to go out and hire some guys. Like I think they're going to come up into Canada and poach some guys, or you know, get to some of the people writing in The Athletic and ask them if they want to be part of the national coverage of ESPN's hockey. I think they'll be able to get some pretty good talent on their side, some good analysis analysts, and I think that they'll have they'll put on a good show. I think it'll be successful. And if they're successful, whoever the second half is going to have to compete and have to revamp things. So it's nice that America is bringing hockey into the 21st century here.
Yes. Love it. All right. When we come back on the Locked On NHL podcast, the race atop the North, Ralph Krueger, still the coach of the Sabres, and the Islanders have won 9 in a row. We will have the annual, it's more of a monthly discussion of whether the Islanders are for real or not here in the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DeStefano. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DeStefano. Betting on the NHL does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Speaking of betting, the Sabres are a big underdog. The Devils are -180 on the road on the money line against the Sabres.
The Devils are a bottom five team in the league.
Right. They're not even good. And they're a huge favorite. The Sabres have lost. I hate this with the NHL. This is one of my pet peeves with the league is the Sabres have lost 11 games in a row, but because some of them were in overtime, we have officially it's a winless streak, but
yeah,
they have also lost their last 11 games. I'm just going to keep saying it. They've lost their last 11 games. They are dead last in the NHL, and that lead is starting to grow. They are 6 points behind the Ottawa Senators. They are 4 points behind the Detroit Red Wings. They have played more games, or they've played less games than Ottawa and Detroit by a wide margin, but still. And Ralph Krueger continues to be their head coach. It's almost a month away from the first time I think it was talked about whether he'll be fired or not. And it's several weeks before it's become an assumption that that would happen. We are left scratching our heads, Mike, in Buffalo. Like there's no reasonable explanation that we've been able to come up with. You had an interesting one about last week about are they waiting for the fans, which is on this Saturday. But Saturday's coming, and they haven't made a change yet. So I'm starting to doubt that that will actually happen. And more I'm believing that he's only the head coach because the owners don't want to pay him to go away.
Oh, I think that's exactly why he's still the head coach. But yeah. Joe, how, like, I just don't understand how you could possibly have a game on Saturday and have Ralph Krueger behind the bench. Like, I just don't understand how they could possibly do that, especially if they keep losing and they're still on that losing streak. Like, even if they're not, regardless, they've lost like 11 of 13 or 11 to 12 games by then. Like, it's just, it's actually sad and like somewhat embarrassing for the Pegulas to be going on like this and allowing this team to just rot away. Like, they're not a horrible team. I thought they were going to take a step this year. I like some of the moves that they've made over the past couple of years. I think that, I thought that Botterill did a decent job putting things together. I think obviously Okpozo was a bad deal. Which I suppose maybe even been a different GM, but Skinner was a bad deal, but he's made some decent moves, some decent signings. He's tried to help this team. They've drafted well. I think Dahlin hasn't taken that next step that he was expected to be. And just a lot of things have gone wrong in Buffalo. And for whatever reason, they just can't get it right and they can't fix things. And I think the biggest issue at this point is they just need a new, fresh voice. They just need something new before that locker room completely spoils and turns toxic, and then you can't win with that group. Like, that core group that's there right now, if it turns toxic and they, you know, kind of it, like what happened out in Edmonton, where it's just a losing mentality all the time. They just can't overcome it. They can't figure out a way to win. What do? Yep. They moved out three of their first overall picks that they had signed. Like, they rebuilt it two, three times until eventually they ended up with McDavid, obviously. But all the guys before that went, gone, right? So I think that Buffalo is almost in a similar circumstance where they almost like just need to get rid of the coach, rebuild again, get a new core, and try and win with a young core and breed some aspect of winning into them at a young age instead of all this losing nonsense. Because that's all that Jack Eichel knows. That's all that Sam Reinhart knows. That's all that Dahlin knows. Like, that's all they've done now for, 8 years is lose?
Yep. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It sucks, and I know fans hate hearing it here in Buffalo, but the thing to do really is to do what you're doing, is to hit the start over button again. And it's so hard to sell that when you are on a 9-year drought, but it's like your only option, because you just keep hitting your head on the wall trying to break through with this current group. So if it's not working, don't keep trying over and over and over. I actually think it's almost good for Jack Eichel's psyche that he is away for probably the rest of the season. He's got about an 8-week neck injury, it sounds like. Just to not be around this environment, that actually might help them in their pursuit to keep him.
Actually, here's something interesting that I saw somebody actually poke out there on Twitter. I don't know if they were serious or poking fun, but what if this is a way for a team that is playoff bound to make a push for Jack Eichel right now and then kind of pull a Nikita Kucherov and activate him for the playoffs?
I wouldn't rule it out, because I'm more and more wondering about his future with this team, but I would be stunned if they entertained offers for him that were not in the off season. That's not to say someone couldn't come forward with some mega offer that would get the Sabres to change their opinion on that, change their stance on that. But I'd be stunned if they traded him in season. And also, the neck injury, they've been very coy with a lot of injuries this season. But they have been a lot more, they've technically been labeling it upper body. But we've been hearing that, like, this neck injury is a real thing. Like, and maybe even 8 weeks isn't enough. Because it depends on what the exact injury is. But this could be a tricky injury for him. So, I don't know. I would doubt that, but I also wouldn't rule out what you're saying. If the Islanders came calling, it's like, hey, we're going to make the playoffs. We'd like to have Jack Eichel around for that. We'll give you the offer we were going to give you in the offseason, you know?
Right.
I don't know. And then, by the way, on the coaching front for them, this has been out there that Bruce Boudreau wants the Sabres job, which makes me think the Sabres don't want Bruce Boudreau, because then why wouldn't that have happened already?
Does he want the Sabres job, or does he want a job?
No, he wants the Sabres job.
Didn't he say on so I can't remember what it was, but someone asked him, like, well,
yeah,
what are you enjoying? And his answer was not the Sabres game.
No, so that's actually what we thought, because that was such a weird circumstance. Boudreau was on 590 in Toronto with Jeff Merrick. And Jeff Merrick, like, right at the end of their interview, you'll know this from being in the radio business, I do too. Like, they are right at the end of the interview. And his final question is basically, what are you enjoying, or what stands out to you, what are you watching in the league right now? And his answer was kind of muffled. And then his connection dropped, and they tried to get him back on the line, and they weren't able to, and they were like, oh, well, we're at the end of the interview anyway, so he never was able to clarify. We thought he said anything but the Buffalo games, but we did, like, some detective work on WGR. Like, we were going hardcore at this piece of audio, and I think we arrived at, he said, I'm watching the Buffalo games, and then laughed, because he does want a job, and he thinks that that's the job that's become available. Then Josh Reed in Buffalo, WIVB-TV, reported that Boudreau does want the Sabres job. And then Elliot Friedman said a couple days later that Boudreau is interested in the Sabres job. So I think we've arrived at, he does want the Sabres job.
Yeah, I think he just wants a job.
Right.
It's definitely not a desirable job. because exactly. You know that you're going into a situation that's toxic. You know you're going into a situation that needs a bit of an overhaul, and this isn't a team that's going to win right away. So I don't know if that's like an attractive job, but you know,
I don't think it is.
He wants a job, and he's smart because that's probably the only team right now looking to make a coaching change at this point. And he's kind of right up at the top of the list. So he's a good coach, and I think that he'd be good in Buffalo. But there'd have to be patience there. I don't think that he's going to turn this thing around, and they're going to pull a St. Louis Blues and go on a massive run and go from worst to first.
Yeah, me neither. But again, I don't think that it's going to happen because I don't think Buffalo wants him back, because it sounds more and more like they want to go in. I don't like this idea. Don't get me wrong. I actually hate this idea, but it sounds like they want to pull from the college ranks. And Nate Lehman has been the name from Providence that keeps getting tossed out. He's in his conference tournament right now. They play like UMass on Wednesday. So maybe if they were eliminated tomorrow, then he would get hired. But it sounds like that's what they want to do. They want a guy with almost no experience.
Gotcha. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see. Something needs to happen. I know that.
Right. Something needs to happen. Okay, let's get to other teams. You can check out more on the Sabres, of course, at Locked On Sabres.
Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports actions. Bet online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Little embarrassed to say it, I am watching this season of The Bachelor. Lines on a show like that, I'm actually intrigued by for the first time in my life. And BetOnline is where you want to be looking for that. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED On. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar in the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Go to BuiltBar.com or do @Built_bar on Twitter. Remember, use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Let's get to the North Division. Toronto still in the lead, but a little bit of a struggle as of late. They've only won 5 of their last 10. I know they've lost a couple games in a row. Winnipeg is now only 4 points back. Edmonton's also only 4 points back, but they've played more games than Winnipeg. At this point, sitting at the top with the Leafs, how much more daunting does the Jets look like as a threat to number one in the North?
A lot. Like, these two teams played 3 games this last week, and Winnipeg took 5 of 6 points and really, you know, gave Toronto a good go at it and shrunk their division lead. And now you're at the point where Winnipeg, they've got 2 games in hand. They win both those games, they're tied atop of the standings. So, you know, I think that Toronto, at one point, we were talking on Lockdown Leafs about how, you know, this team was going to have a 10-point gap between them and the second-place team. They were playing that well. They had just come off of a series against Edmonton, who was second at the time in the division, and they had just swept them 3 games in a row, only giving up 1 goal, and with 3 different goalies, might I add. And it was everything was coming up Leafs. And then since then, though, it hasn't been great. You know, they've lost 5 of their last 6 games. They've really allowed Winnipeg to get back into the fight, and it's going to be a tough battle. You know, the goaltending has not held up. Freddie Anderson has not been good enough, and I don't know if they can really make a change there. He kind of is the guy that he is at this point. He's the horse they're going to have to ride into the dance with. But, you know, I'm just not as sold that Toronto is going to come out on top as the first place team in this division anymore. I think if I were to put like an odds on it, I'd say they're more likely than less likely, but no longer do I think it's like a 90% chance that they win this division. Like, I'm looking now, I'm like maybe 60% that they win this division, if not 55. Like the only thing that really gives me some sort of like belief in this team is the fact that this is like just a slump. They started out so hot. And the fact that the team's not all clicking at the same time, I think if that happens, that this team is nearly unbeatable. And that's the thing. That hasn't been the case. Either the Marner line and Matthews line is going one night, or it's the Nylander-Tavares line that's going, or it's, you know, we're getting some depth scoring. But it's not all happening together. Once it all happens together and, you know, we get that synergy throughout the team, I think then this Leafs team will end up picking up the points and start winning games again. It's just they got to get it done. But the biggest issue was that they had played so many games. They played 8 games the last 14 days. Now they have a 4-day stretch off, play back-to-backs, and then another 4 games. So they have 8 off days in the next 10 days to really rest up, recharge, and get ready for the second half of the season.
Yeah, you were on this with Winnipeg, too. I was thinking more about Montreal being their biggest threat on the season, and the Jets have definitely been that, especially as of late. I still think Toronto will come away with it, but the Jets look more and more respectable to me night by night. I still think they got to improve that blue line if they're going to win big.
They can do it at the deadline very easily. Like they have picks and prospects that they can move and get an Ekholm or get a Savard or... You know, maybe there's another defenseman off the board somewhere that they can go out and acquire. But I think that Winnipeg, they get themselves a defenseman or two at the deadline and really bolster that blue line. I think that they're going to be a serious problem here in the North Division.
I agree. Let's and then finally today on the show, the New York Islanders, 9-game win streak. There are a lot of big win streaks actually in the East right now. Washington's on a 5-game win streak. Pittsburgh's on a 6-game win streak. Everybody's playing the Sabres. The Islanders are first in that division at 42 points. The Bruins and the Flyers are now kind of in a tussle for the fourth place spot. Philly at 31, Boston at 32, and that's 5 and 6 points behind Pittsburgh for third. But let's focus on the top for the sake of this argument. The Islanders are the hottest team going in the league right now. But again, like it's the same story with me every month. Like they'll keep winning and I'll still pick Boston to beat them in a first round series.
I know. Dude, they haven't lost a game in regulation at home all season. 12-0-2 at home.
That's like, incredible.
Yeah. They're so – the thing is they play well. Like they're not a great team on paper, but they're structured and the team is built for the way that they play. And I think that's why they're seeing so much success. The Islanders, I'm ready to hop on board with them. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. They're coached really well and the team is built for success. And I'm going to roll the dice, man. I think this team is for real. It's been 3 years, but I think I'm ready to admit that they are for real. Because every time I say, I don't know, I think they'll take a step back. They rattle off a 9-game winning streak. So I'm done with that. The Islanders are going to do some damage here in the 2021 season.
Yeah. I think it's the Barzal is so good up front and they have so many underrated offensive pieces that I have a growing respect for like their offensive ability when they decide to open it up. I don't think they can do that all the time, of course, and go toe to toe with these other teams like Washington and Boston, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, but the way they play and having that card to play when they need it, I think they're a more complete team than I've certainly given them credit for. And Semyon Varlamov has come in and has really stabilized their net. And Ilya Sorokin, who has come over from the KHL, he's on a 6-game winning streak. He's playing really well also. So that 1-2 combination of those two in net, they're an overall good team. I would not bet them to win the Stanley Cup. Like, I still doubt they can go all the way, but yeah. I've been wrong, so.
And to go full circle, Ilya Sorokin, his rookie card coming out in Series 2, I think that'd be a worthy purchase for those looking to get it.
I kind of like it. I might be Googling that at this very moment. There's no way of telling. well, check out more on the Leafs at Locked On Leafs with Mike, and you can check out more on the Sabres with me at Locked On Sabres. Check out our Locked On Islanders podcast with Gil Martin if you want more on them. And I'll be on Friday. Go ahead.
Quickly throw some love to the Pittsburgh Penguins, who've been on a tear since making the changes up in the front office personnel. They've won 8 of their last 10 games, 6-game winning streak. Seems like they've actually turned it around, and Tristan Jarry has also turned it around the last little bit. So I just want to give a quick shout out to our Pittsburgh Penguins and Hunter over at Locked On Pens. Go listen to him as well.
Yeah, and you're right. Jari's been awesome the past couple of weeks for them. All right, I'll be on Friday with Tom Gazzola, so I will talk to you guys then, and me and Mike will be back next Tuesday here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.